The President's Accidental Wife. Chapter 11. I told you I am in Alkomara. I am at work right now. Let's talk later when I am off work. Which is more important, work or the house, Forrest? Summer clenched her phone and adjusted her breathing as she called out. Tell me what else we can do now since the house has been sold. Summer took a deep breath to suppress her anger. Tell Amara to return the money. Do you think it is possible to ask for money from her? Not a chance. I warn you seriously. You know Mom has high blood pressure, she can't take this shock. Before Dad and Mom return from the trip, you had better fix this problem and get the house back, even if you have to pay double the money for the breach of contract. Are you kidding me, Summer? The house has probably been sold for $1.5 million. The penalty for the breach of contract will be $3 million. I am just a normal white-collar worker. I only keep $1,000 as pocket money for myself while handing the rest to Amara every month. I have absolute zero savings. Then tell me, what should we do now? Aren't you a civil servant? Have the hostels in your school not been completed? You have a housing provident fund, Dad's, Mom's, and your savings should be enough for the down payment for a new house. Forget about that house, it has been sold. What is done is done. Forrest said in a matter-of-course tone of voice. Summer went postal, uttering a rare slur over the phone, completely ignoring the fact that there was someone else by her side. Why don't you just die, Forrest? The hand resting on the steering wheel froze for a second as Mark looked over at her, astounded. She had apparently lost it completely, her face flushing, her lips reddening even more. A light flashed in his eyes, his expression changing. She would not have been so furious had she not made this call. In her eyes, Forrest was a wimp, a slave to his wife Amara right now. If he were right here in front of her, she would slap him in the face. He was utterly an irresponsible man. Just then, she realized she left her wallet at home when she packed her stuff this afternoon. She was now penniless and had no place to stay tonight. She quickly called Grace and Sherman, but both of them had gone abroad. After hanging up, Summer was down and became despondent. She did not expect to spend this year's Christmas like this. She took a deep breath and looked up, her eyes meeting with Mark's penetrating gaze. She was startled slightly and then handed the phone back to him. I am sorry about that, Mr. Valentine. It is all right, Mark responded faintly, his flickering eyes glancing over at her red, tender lips again. There was a sudden silence in the cabin, with only the sound of their breathing in the air. Summer was depressed and found a random topic to talk about. How did Jazz know that I was detained in the police station? It is me who is here to pick you up. What has it to do with Jazz? Mark said in an unhurried, amusing voice as he raised his eyebrows with his thin lips lifted slightly. Summer let out a smile with a shrug. You and I are only acquaintances, while Jazz is my student. So it must be Jazz who asked you to do this. At first, she was still puzzled and shocked to see Mark at the police station. But after pondering about it, things had become clear to her. Mark was tapping the steering wheel with his slender fingers, looking disapproving. Don't you think we are close enough after spending a night together? She straightened her back, looked at him, and told him bluntly, it was just a one-night stand. I don't think I can make you want to bail me out of the police station, do I? In Santa Baca, Mark could have all the women he wanted, whether it was a woman with big boobs, wasp waist, or anything in between. He just needed to say it, and no woman could resist him. She preferred to be down to earth, not chasing after the empty dreams, believing that people should have a clear sense of reality. Mark swallowed, as if he was having a reminiscence of something. Actually, Miss Hart, you are pretty hot. HHE. She was shocked, angry, and smitten by his remark. Are you flirting with me now, Mr. Valentine? No, he paused for a second, his voice serious. Not at all. I am just flirting with a teacher. His deep and hoarse voice struck a nerve with her when he said he was indeed flirting with her. Startled and embarrassed, Summer's voice went up an octave. Mr. Valentine, how could you? With his lips still curling up, Mark narrowed his eyes slightly, looking at her lazily and casually. I was just kidding, Miss Hart. Had anyone ever made such a joke? She blushed. Looking away from him, she looked out at the night scene outside the car window and calmed her breathing. The car moved forward quietly. There was a depressing atmosphere in the air. Gradually, she dozed off, falling asleep with her head leaning against the window. She slept well, even having a sweet dream. She dreamed of snow falling from the sky, with her spreading her arms, hovering and flying freely in the air. Just then, a steep cliff suddenly appeared in front of her. She lost her balance and plunged straight down. The fall jolted her out of her sleep. She slowly opened her eyes. Just then, she saw a hand in front of her eyes. Her mind went blank. When she recovered, she grabbed the hand with one hand and chided in anger. What are you doing, Mr. Valentine? Her skin was fair and delicate, her fingers slender and soft, so much so that they felt boneless, as if a piece of silk gliding over the skin of his hand. This smoothness inexplicably agitated him. Mark looked at her with his penetrating eyes. What do you think I am doing, Miss Hart? Taking a deep breath, Summer forced the words through her teeth. I hope you will not do such an ambivalent action again. Don't say I didn't warn you. Mark leaned forward little by little while Summer gritted her teeth and leaned back to avoid him. Her back was against the seat. Where else could she go? The President's Accidental Wife by Blue Fruity Chapter 12. Summer was sandwiched between the seat and Mark. His hand posture remained as it was before, but their faces almost touched each other, and there was a zero distance between their lips. What have I done that makes you think I am flirting with you? She could feel his warm breath on her face. She tilted her head back, trembling, but she still gritted her teeth and said unequivocally, Now you are flirting. Really? Mark's lips curled up in a smirk. There was a click when he pressed down with his finger. Done. Done what? Summer looked at him in puzzlement while he pointed his chin at her chest. She looked down at where he was pointing. Only then did she notice the seat belt. He was just helping her unfasten the seat belt. She instantly blushed, as if blood almost surged out of her skin. How she wished the ground would swallow her up. It was so embarrassing. She had never been so embarrassed in her life. Mark sat back upright and let go of her hand, his lips curling up slightly. Shouldn't you apologize for the misunderstanding, Miss Hart? It was her fault this time. She blushed and could not find a word to respond. At last, she whispered, I am sorry. Sorry for what? Mark's brow furrowed as he was not satisfied with the apology. She took a deep breath and changed the subject by reminding him. We have arrived, Mr. Valentine. But he still did not move. Why don't you acknowledge your mistake since you apologize? It really made her hackles rise. But she gritted her teeth and fought back her anger. I am sorry that I misunderstood you. I thought you were trying to grope me. That's more like it. Mark raised his eyebrows and then got out of the car. She followed behind, still filled with anger and embarrassment. The two arrived back at the condo in tandem. Jazz had been waiting in the living room for a long time. When he saw Summer, he broke out in a bright smile. Mark shot a glance at Jazz, and Jazz quickly straightened his back and sat upright. He hissed at Jazz. Casually tossing his black coat on the sofa, he then disappeared into his room. As soon as Mark disappeared, Jazz breathed a sigh of relief. Why were you detained by the police, Miss Hart? He asked with concern. It is a long story. I can't explain everything to you at once now, Summer said. Jazz shrugged and did not ask further. There was a knowing look on his good-looking face. I completely understand that. As humans, we lose it sometimes. You are a human, too. Nobody is perfect. Before his voice trailed off, there was a growling sound coming from Summer's stomach. She frowned, as she had eaten nothing for a day. She was starving. So she asked Jazz what he would like to eat. Jazz said he was craving for roasted tomato soup, which he always had during winter. He hadn't had any roasted tomato soup since winter started this year. He wanted it badly today. Summer let out a smile. She could get out of the police lockup because of Jazz. So she would make him roasted tomato soup to say thank you. After a shower, Mark changed into casual wear, his hair still dripping wet. As soon as he came out of his room, he heard a crisp sound, as if someone was cutting something. Stepping into the living room, he saw Summer cutting tomatoes with a knife while Jazz was lingering around her. When Jazz heard footsteps, he turned around, grinning from ear to ear. Miss Hart is making roasted tomato soup for us, Mark. Summer did not look back. She was still cutting the tomatoes, but with her brows raised. Mark said nothing, his eyes sweeping across her back. He then sat down on the sofa, turned on the TV to watch the financial news. Sensing that he had looked away from her, Summer secretly breathed a sigh of relief. She could not concentrate on making the roasted tomato soup again. She prepared the onions and garlic, then squeezed some olive oil into a pan. Just as she was about to dump the sliced onions and garlic into the hot pan, Jazz suddenly muttered, "Mark doesn't like garlic. He despises the smell." Hearing that, Summer thought for a moment, snicking at the picker eater. She dumped the sliced onions, tomatoes that had been sliced in half into the searing pan. Then a sparing salt and pepper went into the pan as well. Sugar was added to intensify the sweetness, and then vinegar to add acidity to the soup. After half done, the things went into the oven for 20 minutes, and then were taken out. Vegetable stock together with cream was added and let shimmering, and voila, it was done. The good thing about this upscale condo was that there was a supermarket downstairs selling everything from fruits, vegetables, meat, and everything. She had bought some tomatoes, onions, and garlic, as well as tomato pesto. The pesto was drizzled over the top of the soup to make it more punchy. The soup was served on plates. Jazz fetched them to the coffee table. Mark squinted at Jazz, and Jazz shrugged. "When Miss Hart was about to dump the ingredients into the pan, I told her you couldn't stand the smell of garlic. She left out the garlic, and that was just for your sake. It seems that you have got special treatment. I am jealous of you." Mark frowned and said nothing the entire time. There was a sense of exploration in his eyes. Summer put down the plate and looked up. It startled her when their eyes met. But she quickly regained her composure. "Thank you for today, Mr. Valentine. You should thank me for that, really." His voice was low and hoarse, and his lips were curled up. He picked up a spoon and drank the soup, his manner elegant and gentle. "Isn't the soup good, Mark?" Jazz asked. Summer was curious to know what Mark think, too. She was a little nervous, pretending at drinking her soup. But she still could not help stealing glances at him. Mark looked at her. Her face reddened, delicate with a speck of sugar on it. But that did not make her look funny, but attractive. A light was flickering in his eyes. He drank a spoonful of soup, and only then he gave his comment. "It is all right." That was like a high regard for her when this comment came from a picky eater like Mark. He was happy with it. The only thing was, the way he looked at her was as if he was looking at prey. She looked down to evade his eyes. Mark looked away and sipped the roasted tomato soup until finishing it. He got up. Just as he was about to leave, something seemed to come to his mind. "Since you have nowhere to go, please be my guest tonight. Just make sure that you clean up the kitchen." Summer's heart skipped a beat. She looked up at him, not expecting to hear him say this. She could not be more grateful. He seemed to be a nice guy, after all. The next early morning, Summer woke up at 6:30 as usual. When she had cleaned herself up, it was 7 o'clock. When she walked into the living room, Jazz was sitting on the sofa. "Where is Mark?" she asked. She thought she should thank him once again for letting her stay for the night. Jazz was yawning big time, as if he was still half asleep. "He has gone for a morning jog. That's his habit." There was an inexplicable feeling of disappointment inside her. After talking to Jazz for a while and asked Jazz to thank Mark on her behalf, she left. The President's Accidental Wife by Blue Fruity, Chapter 13. Summer felt her ears were nearly frozen as she walked in the freezing wind on the street. The weather was surprisingly cold today. She called her mom as the two had returned from the trip. The train was scheduled to arrive at 10 a.m. She hung up, and then headed back to school in a hurry. She was absent all of a sudden without calling to inform the school yesterday. Now she had got some explanations to do. The school principal was very understanding. He just gave her a verbal warning and wanted her to pay more attention in the future. She agreed and then asked for another day off. Surprisingly, the principal approved her request with no question asked. After breakfast, Summer hurried away to the train station. The train was delayed. She waited for 40 minutes before finally seeing her dad and mom arriving. She could hear her mom complaining as they approached. "The train is delayed every time. My back hurts. I have wanted to take the high-speed train, but you are not willing to pay more for the faster, cleaner, and more comfortable service," her dad Solomon Hart said. Summer took over the suitcase from her dad's with one hand and held her mom with the other. "Let's go to the KFC there. I have something to tell you too." She did not plan to tell her parents about the house at first. After all, they were too old and in poor health. She was afraid that they could not take the shock. But now, she could not count on Forrest, and she could not solve the problem alone. So she had no choice but to tell her parents the truth. After ordering 3 cups of coffee and a while of hesitation, Summer told them all the things that Amara had done. Daisy nearly fainted upon hearing that the house had been sold. Her husband Solomon caught her in his arms just in time, his face grave and breathing heavy. "What is done," Solomon finally said after a long while of silence. "Dad." Summer could not believe her ears. "It was your grandpa who bought that house for your Solomon, and he was the legal owner. He could do whatever he wanted with it." Summer's breathing became heavy. "But it was all the doing of Amara, Dad. How could you close your eyes to that? What else can I do? I may scold the hell out of my son, but she is my daughter-in-law." Solomon let out a sigh of helplessness. "I didn't agree when your brother married her. They ran off and even threatened to kill themselves. I couldn't control them back then, let alone now. So, are you pretending that nothing has happened?" Summer thought it was ridiculous. "Your brother only listens to Amara. Now that Amara has sold the house, I am sure he will not say a word about it." Solomon looked at Summer. "How can I not know Amara's character? Honestly, I have never expected her to support your mom and me in our old age. I am grateful if she doesn't cause trouble for us. Now the house is sold, and she has taken the money. The three of us will stay together. Let the two of them go one with their one life. I have never counted on Forrest." Summer's fingernails were digging into the delicate skin of her palms. But what could she do? No one should expect to get a cent from Amara as soon as she got the money. "Whatever, Dad. I will find a house, but with one condition. I am all ears. I am dead sure Amara will come back again. If she dares to step into our house, I will smash her teeth, and no one should stop me or be protective of her." She gritted her teeth and spelled out the sentence. Solomon and Daisy nodded in agreement. Only then did Summer calm herself down. She called her colleague Nancy and asked her to help find a house. She had called at the right time. Nancy told her that her neighbor next door was renting out their unit, and she would call the landlord to find out more. Summer had been to Nancy's house before. She knew the unit type, size, and public transportation available. So she agreed at once. It did not take long before they had negotiated the price. All that was left was to sign the tenancy contract and make the payment. Her parents were to move in first, while she and Nancy would meet the landlord to settle the rest of the procedure. Nancy took a day off and hurried over to the coffee shop where Summer was waiting. "I thought you have a house? Why did you need to rent a house so urgently? Is it because you want to move out and stay alone?" Summer forced a smile and told Nancy the entire story. Nancy was enraged after learning about Amara's behavior. But there was little she could do. Every family has its own problems. "Let's go to view the house." Half an hour later, Summer inspected the house thoroughly from the outside to the inside to ensure no cracks or signs of damage. The landlord was standing behind her.
"Don't worry, Miss Hart. The house is in tip-top condition. I wouldn't have wanted to rent it out if it weren't for having to take care of my son abroad."
Summer nodded and turned around. "Let's sign the tenancy agreement, then." After Summer and the landlord put down their signatures and Summer paid the rest of the money, Solomon and Daisy arrived with their luggage. The four of them started to get busy cleaning up the house. It was 6 p.m., and the sky was dark when they finished the job. The day was short during the winter solstice. Daisy had prepared dinner and asked Nancy to join them. Nancy could not refuse their hospitality and agreed with a smile. Just as Nancy sat down at the dining table, her phone rang, and she picked it up.
"Hello."
Her face crashed, turning pale, and her hand holding the spoon shook upon hearing what the person at the other end said. Summer had noticed her expression. She could not help but frown and become worried about her.
"What happened?"
"Please excuse me, Mr. and Mr. Hart. I need to go now, as something is going on. Thank you for your hospitality, anyway."
As Nancy got up and was about to leave, Summer got up after her and grabbed her hand.
"I will go with you."
Nancy hesitated at first before she nodded. Summer did not ask until they were in the taxi.
"What is going on? You look worried."
"My younger brother got into a drunken brawl in a bar," Nancy said, with her hand covering her face.
No wonder the reaction after Nancy getting the call. Summer asked the taxi driver to speed up and then call Jazz. Most likely, she could not give tuition to him today.
"I am sorry, Jazz. I am afraid I can't give tuition to you today.
So don't wait for me," she said as soon as the call got through.
"You have got quite a happening private life, Miss Hart."
A deep voice was heard speaking at the other end of the line. It belonged to the magnetic voice of a mature man. She was struck dumb, her heart racing. She could not help pressing her slightly dry lips together.
"Please tell Jazz about it."
"Thank you very much, Mr. Valentine," she said in one fell swoop.
The President's Accidental Wife by Blue Fruity, Chapter 14. She hung up the phone and took a deep breath to calm her racing heart. Club Nightshade. Lucas Atkinson wailed and groaned as he held his stomach and wriggled on the ground in pain. Sitting on the sofa in front of Lucas was a middle-aged man in his 40s. The man, chubby and wearing a thick gold chain around his neck while sitting with his legs crossed, cursed, "You friggin' boy. How dare you touch my woman? I am going to cut you into pieces today."
Summer heard swear words and felt disgusted as soon as she walked in. The greasy face and belly that was about to burst out of his shirt made her feel even sicker. Seeing her brother beaten black and blue on the floor, Nancy went weak at the knees. She would have tumbled to the floor if not for Summer holding her tightly.
"What do you want before you let him go?" Her voice was trembling.
"I've already said that my woman keeps your little brother as a gigolo, making me a cuckold.
I will not let him off so easily.
Teach him a lesson, my brothers, Carlos Toledano said, with his yellowish teeth exposed. A few men, who had been waiting impatiently all this while, clenched their fists, the joints of their hands crackling aloud as they walked towards Lucas.
Nancy's blood ran cold. She was trembling uncontrollably.
Looking around, she saw people just watching, no one stepping forward to lend a helping hand.
I beg you, please.
Spare my brother.
You didn't even kneel.
How can I know I can let go of your brother?
Carlos took a drag and puffed out a cloud of smoke from his cigarette.
Nancy gritted her teeth and clenched her hands, ready to go down to her knees.
Just then, Summer stopped her.
She took a step forward and looked Carlos in the eyes.
You will not let her brother go, even if she has kneeled in front of you.
Why bother to embarrass an innocent woman, she said with an unruffled voice.
She is doing it willingly.
Did I coerce her?
Carlos raised an eyebrow.
You look like you are somebody.
A trivial thing like this isn't worth your time.
Summer was calm, her voice indifferent.
It takes two to tango.
With all due respect, a mistress who keeps another man as a gigolo is anything but worthy of your time.
She would have another man, even if Lucas didn't come into the picture.
Lucas is nothing more than a scapegoat.
Don't you think getting so worked up over a woman like this is a waste of time?
Carlos burst out into laughter.
He felt not so angry now.
Instead, he became interested in Summer.
What is your name?
I am nobody, Mr. Toledano.
Summer knew what he was up to.
Her reply aroused Carlos' interest even more.
Nobody, eh?
It is not a bad thing to try something new, after all.
I am not your cup of tea.
I have nothing you want.
Summer tried to steer the topic away.
I know you are a magnanimous person.
Besides, you have taught Lucas a lesson.
How about letting him go?
Since you say so, I have nothing to add.
Here is the deal, if you can drink 5 glasses of this vodka, I will let this kid go.
Summer stared at him.
You look like a no-nonsense guy, and I am sure you will mean what you say.
Deal.
Nancy nervously gripped Summer's hand upon hearing that.
Summer shook her head at Nancy.
Taking the wine glass handed over by Carlos, she knocked back with her eyes closed.
For 5 consecutive glasses, she never opened her eyes, just feeling a burning sensation in her throat, as if there was a fire inside her.
She felt lightheaded.
Carlos freed Lucas at once, just as promised.
He then looked at Summer with a lewd smile on his face.
I forgot to tell you that besides drinking 5 glasses of vodka, you have got to sleep with me once.
Only then I will let you go.
Otherwise, you might save Lucas but not yourself.
Summer shook her head and gritted her teeth, trying to keep herself awake.
You are shameless.
So what if I am shameless?
Taking a step forward, Carlos reached to clutch her jaw and studied her.
What a beautiful nobody.
Let go of me.
Summer struggled to push him away, but her strength was no match for a big man like Carlos.
Nancy was desperate and lunged up to help Summer, but was stopped by Carlos's men.
Carlos forcibly drew Summer into his arms and took her away.
After Carlos just made 2 steps away, a lazy, casual voice came from behind.
You took time off from the tuition just to drink with a man, Miss Hart.
Everyone was startled and looked in the direction from where the voice came.
Carlos stopped in his tracks and spun around.
When he saw the person speaking, he let go of Summer and greeted the man.
What an honor, Mr. Valentine.
Mark did not look at Carlos.
His attention was on Summer.
You guys seem to be having fun here.
Someone didn't know his place.
But I have taught him a lesson.
Hope it hasn't disturbed you, Mr. Valentine.
Carlos tried to please Mark.
As a token of apology, please enjoy yourself tonight, it is on the house.
People in both business or politics invariably gave face to Mark.
You shouldn't have.
I came at the invitation of Mr. Morgan. His voice was unconcerned, but his brows were raised. Do you plan to stay here to drink, or go back to the tuition class, Miss Hart?
Summer, who was standing on the stairs, was struggling to keep herself balanced. When she saw the familiar figure, her eyes lit up instantly. She nodded vigorously upon hearing what Mark said. She tried to speak, but all she could manage was just one word.
Tuition.
That was not right. He had almost got her. How could he let the woman go just like that? Carlos thought to himself. He did not want to concede, yet he did not show that on his face. Instead, he remained polite.
Please excuse us, Mr. Valentine. I need to talk to Miss Hart in private.
Is it something very important? Mark shot a glance at Carlos as he said in a deep voice. Carlos did not know Mark's intention by just listening to his tone of voice. He thought for a moment and remained cautious.
Not really.
Since it is not something very important, I will take her away, Mark said nonchalantly. He paused and then continued as if he had thought of something. The final exam is in 2 days. Carlos was struck dumb. He did not understand what this had to do with him. He heard no one could read Mark's mind, and there it goes. Jazz would fail his college entrance exam without Miss Hart as his tutor. Do you understand? Carlos was struck dumb again. He did not know that the Valentines had ever needed to worry about not getting into a university. Apparently, it was not about the exam, but this woman called Miss Hart. Was there any other relationship between the two? The President's Accidental Wife by Blue Fruity Chapter 15. Carlos hurriedly changed his narrative. He was hesitant.
Honestly, Mr. Valentine. Miss Hart and I have very important things to discuss.
Mark sat down on a sofa leisurely with his brow raised.
What is it about?
It is a personal matter. Carlos made up an excuse.
Well, what kind of personal matter, may I ask?
If Miss Hart can help, I am sure I can, too.
He was still behaving elegantly.
Carlos was silenced now. He could not imagine asking Mark Valentine to help him with that stuff. After a while, Nancy helped Lucas to the back seat before letting Summer, who had got a little drunk, sit in the front passenger seat. Her eyes flickered, and her heart pounded uncontrollably as she sighted the sight of the good-looking man's face.
Address?
Mark asked Nancy, who was sitting in the back seat.
Staten South, she replied hurriedly, after coming out of her daze.
The black Land Rover started. There was silence in the car. The only thing audible was their breathing sounds. Summer felt her head was about to explode and stomach liquid surge inside her. She kept her eyes closed while she tried to speak in her frail voice.
Can I lower the window a bit?
You looked heroic while drinking. I wonder why you are so frail now. Mark was looking ahead, his words carrying a hint of sneer. The car took a right turn as he turned the steering wheel right. She leaned against the window, raising her hand to massage her pulsing temples.
You were already in the bar when I was drinking, weren't you?
You were rubbernecking. He raised an eyebrow and said not a word as he continued to drive. She was negotiating with Carlos when he and Charlie Morgan arrived at the bar. It aroused their curiosity, and they decided to watch on the sidelines. So, in a sense, they were indeed rubbernecking.
Thank you for not refusing to help me, Mr. Valentine.
She shook her head with sarcasm. Mark still said nothing, his lips curling up slightly, his eyes penetrating. Nancy was sitting in the back seat and listening to what they said. But she could not find a chance to chime in. All she could do was to remain silent. She wondered since when Summer and Mark knew each other. Her heart was racing, and her mind was a muddle when she saw the sight of the man's face again. A moment later, the car stopped downstairs at Staten South. Nancy first helped Lucas upstairs and then came down to pick up Summer.
Thank you for everything tonight, Mr. Valentine,
Summer said while unfastening the seat belt with one hand. He turned around and squinted at her.
Is it just me, or is your way of saying thank you a little insincere?
It is all in your head, Mr. Valentine.
I am sincere. I am deeply grateful for what you have done.
You are angry because I only came to your rescue at the very last minute.
Not at all. We are not related in any way.
I don't blame you even if you don't help me.
Summer shook her head, looking sincere.
He rested one hand on the steering wheel, his lips curling up and his eyes looking as mellow as wine.
You look absolutely enchanting when you speak with a serious tone of voice.
Indeed. With her back straightened, a serious face that blushed like red wine, and squirming little pink lips, she was absolutely alluring.
So you have been captivated for a while?
She asked, laughing as she felt amused.
What a joke, Mr. Valentine.
And the joke is so absurd.
His deep voice came as soon as her voice trailed off.
You don't believe me?
Do you want me to show you?
Show?
Show what?
Summer frowned, as she had no clue what he meant.
He leaned forward, clasped the back of her head with his hands, and planted his lips on hers.
She froze in place.
When she finally came out of her shock, she bit his lip and quickly got out of the car while he was in pain.
Standing outside the car window, she gritted her teeth and looked at him.
Please don't harass a teacher like me again, Mr. Valentine.
She fought back her lightheadedness and waning body strength as she ran forward.
Mark looked on, raising an eyebrow with his lips curling up in a smirk.
Why shouldn't he harass a teacher?
Because of the effect of the alcohol, Summer crashed out on the bed as soon as she arrived home.
She could no longer stand the pressure after so long.
As soon as she let down her guard, she was paralyzed on the spot.
The next morning, she slowly opened her eyes and squinted to check at her phone for time.
She felt a warm liquid flowing out of her body as soon as she moved her body.
It jolted her out of her daze.
She quickly opened the bedside table drawer, took out a sanitary pad, and walked into the bathroom.
After taking off her panties, she saw the blood was paler than usual.
After putting on the sanitary pad, she frowned.
Her time of the month usually came on the 4th or 5th every month.
How come this time it came a week earlier?
Whether it came a week earlier or not, it was entirely normal.
She did not give it a second thought.
She had one too many yesterday.
Now she had a terrible hangover, feeling as if her head was going to explode.
Fortunately, it was Sunday today.
She could sleep as long as she wanted to regain her energy.
While lying on the bed, the scene from last night came to her mind all of a sudden.
She blushed and exhaled gently.
How could he kiss her without her consent?
How could he harass a teacher with impunity?
She decided she had better stay away from this dangerous man next time.
Just then, her phone rang.
It was Nancy calling.
Please do me a favor, Summer.
I would like to invite Mr. Valentine for lunch.
Can you call him on my behalf?
She sat up and poured herself a glass of water.
I thanked him yesterday.
He did us such a big favor.
Saying thank you just won't cut it?
It is not sincere enough.
Will you make the call for me while I book a restaurant?
Deal okay?
We will have lunch with him.
I will hang up now.
Before Summer could say anything, the line went dead.
She was in a pickle.
She really did not want to make the call.
But since Nancy asked, she could not refuse her.
Furthermore, Mark had gotten them out of trouble, it was only proper to invite him for lunch.
After thinking about it for a while, she decided to make the call. She did not like the idea of owing someone a favor, after all.
She had asked Jazz for Mark's number.
After thinking about what to say, she made the call, and it got through.
She plucked up her courage.
Thank you so much for last night, Mr. Valentine.
I am thinking of inviting you for lunch, but you are a busy man.
I know you don't have time.
I have time. Where are we going for lunch? His low voice interrupted her before her voice trailed off. The President's Accidental Wife by Blue Fruity Chapter 16. Summer was taken aback. What did he just say?
Time and venue. Mark asked again when he heard no response. His words were concise and straight to the point.
Did that mean he accepted the invitation?
Oceanside Hotel, 3:00 p.m. Summer snapped back and told him the hotel at which Nancy made a reservation.
You do not bring a VIP to a street stall for lunch.
So Nancy had gone to great lengths to find an upscale hotel to set up the date. The line went dead, with Mark saying nothing else as if he was busy.
Summer frowned.
She called Nancy to tell her that the appointment was set and that Nancy could make a reservation now. She then looked at the time. It was only 8 a.m. A beautiful weekend morning was wasted just like that. Her initial plan was to sleep until she woke up naturally. But now, that plan was ruined. She drank 2 glasses of water and then placed the glass on the table. But before the glass left her hand, she felt acutely nauseous. Covering her mouth, she rushed into the washroom. She puked her guts out. Still panting, she let the faucet run as she splashed the warm water on her face. She felt much better now. But when she went to the toilet again afterwards, something surprised her. The amount of discharge from her menstruation was much less than usual, and the color was abnormally light this time. While she was scratching her head over this, Daisy called out to her.
Come out for breakfast, Summer.
I am coming. When she walked out of the washroom, baguette and orange juice were ready on the dining table. She picked up a slice of the baguette and took a bite, and then familiar nausea hit again. She rushed back into the washroom and vomited again. This time, she came out with a pale face, and Daisy saw it. She was worried.
You look ill, Summer.
Go see a doctor. Summer sunk into the chair and rubbed her upset belly with both hands.
I will go after breakfast.
She felt nauseous at seeing the baguette. So she just drank a glass of orange juice. It was 10 a.m., and the queue was long when she got to the hospital. She took her number and waited for her turns on a chair. There were many patients on Sundays. She felt her butt numb after an hour of sitting. She breathed a sigh of relief when it was finally her turn. The attending doctor was a woman in her 40s. When Summer told of her condition, the doctor ordered a urine test. Her brows furrowed slightly. Why did she need a urine test when she was just having an upset stomach? As puzzled as she was, she still followed the doctor's instructions and took a urine test, then waited for the result. She went back into the doctor's office 5 minutes later. The doctor nodded and motioned for her to sit down.
Congratulations, Miss Hart. You are pregnant.
She froze in place like a sculpture. It was not only after a long while that she forced a smile on her face.
How is it possible?
Did you make a mistake?
How could she be pregnant?
That was absolutely impossible. The doctor pushed the test report in front of her and nudged her glasses up her nose.
There is absolutely no problem, Miss Hart.
You have been pregnant for 3 weeks. It is clear in the test. You may read it carefully and take the test again if you are not convinced. Her hand shivered as she picked up the test report. She ran her eyes over the report content and shook her head in disbelief. She almost lost it as she told herself that this was not true.
Impossible.
Absolutely impossible. I took the after morning pill that day.
When did you take it?
Within 2 hours.
Did you eat anything special that day?
Summer's heart skipped a beat as something came to mind.
I drank several cups of black coffee.
Caffeinated drinks could interfere with absorption and delivery of medicine.
Not to mention you drank 3 cups of it.
Judging from this, the pill must have lost its efficacy.
You have a RETR overt uterus, by the way.
So the possibility of getting pregnant is small.
Yet here you have it.
But if you have a miscarriage or something,
You might not get pregnant again, I am afraid. I am afraid.
Walking on the cold, windy street, Summer thought of what the doctor said. She felt dizzy. She had a hard time pulling herself together. She felt a sharp pain in her calf. Before she knew what happened, she went weak at the knees and fell to the ground.
Are you blind or something? Couldn't you see and hear me coming?
I can't believe this. A young cyclist shot a glare at her, cursing as he climbed back on his bicycle and pedaled off. When she finally got her thoughts together, she rubbed her painful leg and then stood up. It was lucky that she did not suffer any injury. Her phone rang just then. She lowered her head to look at the phone screen. It was Nancy. She picked it up and gave a short hello.
It is almost 2:30 now.
Where are you now, Summer?
Nancy asked anxiously.
With the mobile phone to her ear in one hand and the pregnancy test report in the other, she exhaled softly.
What if I tell you I can't go now?
Are you kidding me?
Nancy sounded panicky.
Come quickly.
I will hang up now.
Summer did not like to stand someone up. So she obliged and told herself not to worry about the problems until she was back at home. When she got to Oceanside Hotel, Mark was already there, sipping on the coffee leisurely and elegantly with his legs crossed. Also sitting there was Nancy, who looked a little nervous. 3:05 Mark glanced at his watch with his eyebrows raised.
Is this the sincerity you talked about?
Summer thought of her pregnancy when she saw Mark. He was the person who caused all this. It was all his fault. He got drunk and went into the wrong room. It was he who got her into this predicament. Her mood went from bad to worse. She stared at him and spontaneously started her sarcastic rant.
Since you think I am not sincere, why bother to wait?
Shouldn't have you gotten up and left?
Nancy glanced at Mark warily before quickly winking at Summer as if saying, "What is wrong with you? Do you know what you are doing?"
But Summer turned a blind eye to her. Instead of getting annoyed, Mark was curious. He gazed at Summer for a while.
"You are in a grim mood."
"Yes." She straightened her back and gave him a provocative look.
"What is it about, then?"
He shifted his body so that he was looking straight at her.
"It is personal.
I am in no obligation to tell you."
Mark narrowed his eyes, his brows furrowing.
"Is it the time of the month?"
She squeezed her fingers but said nothing.
How she wished it were.
But that was impossible.
Nancy blushed at hearing their conversation. The President's Accidental Wife by Blue Fruity Chapter 17. When an elegant and respectable man like Mark spoke about menstruation, it felt odd and made Nancy feel embarrassed. Her heart pounded uncontrollably. Immediately, she pulled the enraged Summer over.
"Sit down, Summer. We have ordered food."
Summer realized she had overreacted. The two of them must be puzzled, probably thinking that she was mentally unstable. But she could not help herself. Her pregnancy caught her off guard. She panicked, not knowing what to do. She just instinctively vented her emotions. She took a deep breath, trying to suppress her emotions as she sat down. The heating system was running on full blast. She took off her down jacket, revealing her black blouse underneath. Just as she got up to hang her down jacket, an accident happened. The server standing behind her did not foresee that she would spin around, and he bumped into her. The server was holding a tray with 3 transparent crystal glasses containing red wine on it, along with a bottle of red wine, which had been opened. The tray flipped, and all the red wine splashed onto Summer's body. Her body slammed against the table, and she slipped and fell, sitting on the floor. Nancy was stunned. Mark had got up at once, squatting slightly to hold Summer by her shoulders, and helped her up.
"I will get tissues."
Nancy snapped back and hurried away to fetch tissues. Summer caught her breath as she came out of her shock. When she looked up, she saw the man in front of her ogling her.
jerk. She blushed, quickly covering her chest with her hands. Any man would have looked under the circumstance. His voice was unusually low and hoarse.
Jerk. Do you think all men are as shameless as you?
Summer glared.
I guarantee they would have been more shameless than me.
His hot breath blew against her ear, making her blush even more.
Despicable, she cursed and pushed him away with all her strength.
Mark leaned against the dining table. His tongue licked across his lips as if he was recollecting something.
How can a teacher use foul language?
Do you expect me to speak nicely to you?
She shot a glare at him, despising his frivolous behavior.
Pervert.
Do you want to know what a real pervert looks like, eh?
Let me demonstrate it to you.
He stepped forward, forcing her into a corner, all the while smiling as she stared at her.
He always thought he had impeccable self-control.
But this time, he was on the verge of losing control.
Let me go, you pervert.
Let me go.
He was clutching her hands over her head.
She could not move.
All she could do was to scream anxiously.
The look in his eyes scared her.
There was a rush of footsteps.
Summer knew that Nancy was returning.
Desperate, she wriggled her body and struggled laboriously.
Sweat popped out of her forehead, and her heart pounded uncontrollably.
But Mark had no intention of letting go of her just yet.
Summer bit her lip, raised her knee to hit him in the loins.
As an excruciating pain ripped across his body, he groaned in pain and let go of her hands.
She quickly pulled two steps away to keep a distance from him.
Nancy pushed open the door of the private dining room and noticed nothing wrong between the two.
Here are the tissues.
Soak up the wine from your clothes, or else you might catch a cold.
Should I excuse myself?
Mark asked, folding the lapels of his coat.
He was so elegant and understanding toward Summer.
But his brows slightly furrowed as he was fighting the pain.
It is okay.
She will just go to the ladies' room.
Please sit down, Mr. Valentine, Nancy quickly said, not wanting to slight him.
But he was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
How Summer wished she could give him a good tongue-lashing again.
She fought back the urge and took the tissues from Nancy.
I am sorry.
I am not feeling well.
I will have to leave now.
It is okay, Summer.
Nancy knew she could not blame her.
Summer grabbed her down jacket, gritting her teeth, and left without looking back.
Mark squinted his eyes.
He looked apathetic as ever, with his lips pressing together slightly.
There was a look of arrogance and gentlemanliness in him.
I am sorry, Miss Atkinson.
I still have a meeting at 5.
But please allow me to send you home.
Nancy felt a little disappointed.
But since he offered to give her a ride, she nodded with excitement.
Thank you, Mr. Valentine.
The hotel manager learned about the incident and hurried over, offering Mark a cigarette, and apologized.
Mark acknowledged his apology but held up his hand to refuse the cigarette because he did not smoke.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Just be careful next time.
I will pick up the tab.
Nancy was standing behind him, looking at his stalwart figure from behind.
She heard the conversation between him and the manager and could not help but admire him even more.
Summer was wearing her damp clothes, standing on the roadside to wait for her taxi.
When she thought of that despicable face, she wished she could slap it.
Before her taxi came, a black Land Rover pulled up in front of her.
The window rolled down, and the face that she most despised appeared.
Get in, Mark said.
Get into his car again?
Summer sneered.
She was not so stupid.
When she was about to speak, the car door opened with Nancy waving at her from inside the car.
Get in, Summer.
Mr. Valentine will send us home.
Since Nancy was also in the car, he could do nothing to her.
Besides, it was difficult to get a taxi to this place.
So there was no need to pretend to be tough.
She got in the car and sat in the back seat with Nancy.
No one was talking.
The cabin was incredibly quiet. Summer had nothing to say, while Nancy was afraid to say anything because Mark looked intimidating to her. Neither Mark said anything to them. He was muttering something into the earpiece as if he was giving orders to his staff with no hesitation in his voice. At last, the car stopped outside a neighborhood. Just as Summer opened the car door and stepped out, a deep, low voice came. "Please dress properly next time when you go out, Miss Hart." Her cheeks flushed, and Summer forced the word through her teeth. "Thank you for the reminder, Mr. Valentine. Goodbye, and I hope we don't see each other again." Once outside the car, she could not hold back her anger and kicked the car's tire in the tire. She had no idea how tough a car tire was. Her foot hurt, and it felt numb. Mark had taken all that in. He glanced at his loins, it was still painful. She had probably hit him with all her strength just now. He looked at her again before restarting the engine, turned the car around, and left. Meanwhile, there was a small blue handbag and a medical report in the back seat of his car.